They praised his wife Mary for risking health and life to make the cause of her husband, the people, her cause. Assuming he would win, they looked forward to the redemption of a monopoly-cursed people from the power of mammon. Brian lost the election, as he did two subsequent campaigns for the White House. Yet this letter, one of hundreds of thousands he received that fall, suggests why we should care about him. A man who was elected to no office higher than that of congressman from Nebraska, and who is best known today for prosecuting a young teacher in Tennessee who taught evolution to his students. For many of his correspondents, Brian was not merely a favorite politician. They believed him to be a godly hero who preached that the duty of a true Christian was to transform a nation and world plagued by the arrogance of wealth and the pain of inequality. That could only mean a radically progressive interpretation of the Gospels, so that, as the Pennsylvanians phrased it, our gaping social wounds may be healed and class distinction leveled. Brian's creed drove his three campaigns for the White House, his work for a dazzling variety of causes, both secular and religious, and 30 continuous years of theatrical speechmaking throughout the nation and the world. His energetic performances and relentless good cheer made him a wealthy celebrity whose face and voice were as familiar as anyone's in the nation. After his death, a reporter remarked that the press should build a memorial to him because he was to the world of news what Babe Ruth is to baseball, the real drawing card. Mass appeal lifted Brian to the top rank of American leaders, despite his failures at the ballot box. Only Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson had a greater impact on politics and political culture during the era of reform that began in the mid-1890s and lasted until the early 1920s. Brian wooed a following as large as that of either man, and usually more ardent, and the affection was always mutual. The historian Richard Hofstadter wrote that other leading progressives only sensed popular feelings. Brian embodied them. Remarkably, few loyalists abandoned him after he failed to win the presidency. Some were even glad that, without the responsibilities of state power, the man they called, oxymoronically, the great commoner, would be free to thunder against corporate predators and to champion the unalloyed demands of small farmers and wage earners. In their eyes, Brian was spiritual kin to the patriarchs and prophets who, according to Hebrews chapter 2, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. His fame and influence depended on his adherence to a worldly faith shared by millions of citizens, one that resisted the compromises endemic to policymaking. That creed married democracy and pietism in a romantic gospel that borrowed equally from Jefferson and Jesus. A leveling faith had dominated the nation's religious life since the Second Great Awakening of the early 19th century, which spawned thousands of new Protestant churches and made the passion of evangelicalism the common discourse of most Americans. The idea that anyone, regardless of learning or social background, could come to Christ dovetailed with the belief in equal rights emblazoned in the Declaration of Independence. This synthesis of evangelical Protestantism and republicanism was found in no other nation, at least not with such passionate conviction, nor for such a long period of time. All Democrats honored the author of the Declaration as the founder of their party, but no one in politics could match Bryan's unstinting devotion. Jefferson trusted the people and believed that they were the source of power and authority, he wrote to an admirer. Jefferson's motto of equal rights to all and privileges to none is the fundamental law that governs legislation and the administration of government. Brian yoked the legitimacy of nearly every major reform for which he campaigned to Jeffersonian principles. In a practical sense, Jefferson was more important to him than Jesus. After all, the Son of God had never uttered an opinion about the protective tariff, the gold standard, or corporate power. But Jefferson was a fierce